To Grace Point, I do hope that you've enjoyed our service so far. You actually come at a pretty good time. We're starting a new series on the book of Jonah. So I'm going to read out the first chapter. I'm going to read it out, then I'm going to pray, and then we'll look at our passage together. So if you need a Bible, you can raise your hand and someone will give one to you to use for the evening. You can find our passage tonight on page 645. So 645. Now start reading from verse 1 of chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port, and after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we'll not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." So they cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them. And they asked, What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, and so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Let's pray. Father, we do want to thank you for your word in Jonah. It's a serious word. We pray that your spirit might be convicting us of the grand truths that you have here tonight. Amen. Has there ever been a time in your life where you just you're totally out of step with everyone else? You know, everyone's going this way and you're going that way, or they're going this way and you're going that way. So for our honeymoon, me and Steph, we went to Japan, which is, over 10 years ago now. We stayed, or one of the places we stayed that was in a nice scenic place called Hakone. And when we got to the hotel, and on our bed were some very nice robes, very nice bathrobes and slippers, and had a piece of paper printed on it, which we couldn't read because it was in Japanese. And we thought, cool, nice bathrobes, had a bath. Put on our robes. And it's one of those places where you had dinner downstairs afterwards. So it was dinner time. So we took off our robes, took off our bathrobes and put on our normal clothes. And then went down. And then we got to the entrance. We were so embarrassed. Everyone was wearing those robes and the slippers. And it's too late to turn around. It's too late. So we walked in and you just know everyone's looking at you going, And we're walking in jeans, shirt, and sneakers, and everyone else is in these nice robes and slippers. And we're like, oh, man, everyone is looking at us like we're just barbarians. You know, what are you doing not wearing those robes? They gave you those. Why are you not wearing them? And I thought, oh, maybe that's what the note says on the robes. They're not bathrobes. They actually rose him to wear to dinner. So the next day, I thought, okay, look, we got this down. We know what the rules are. That's what the note says. So before dinner, we put on our robes and put on the slippers. And we walked to the restaurant, and we were so embarrassed. No one was wearing the robes and slippers. And we walked in like, oh my gosh, everyone thinks we're morons. Like, what are you doing? They're bathrobes. Why are you wearing them to the restaurant? Luckily, we were only there for 2 nights because we didn't know what we'd done for the third night. We probably would have to go, one would have to go in a robe, one not. So then only one of us would have to be embarrassed. We know we're starting this new series in the book of Jonah. What's Jonah about? To put it very simply, Jonah is a book about a man whose life is totally out of step with God. Totally out of step with God. And it is a book from God to you and me to do two things. It's going to confront the areas of life where we're living out of sync with him. But he will graciously call us to live in step with him too. It'll be a bit of a tough series, a bit of a rough series, but it will be a series that is going to help us better understand the grace that calls to live in sync with God. So this book about Jonah, he's on the run from God. He's a prophet who was on the run from God. This is what we read in the first few verses. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port, and after paying the fare, he went abroad and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Who was Jonah? Well, he was a prophet, and he lived some 800 years before Jesus came. And the Old Testament is filled with prophets, not because there were a lot of them, but prophets were people that, they were key people that God used to speak his word to his people. Prophets were uniquely called by God for a unique task. These are my words. I'm giving them to you so that you can speak to my people. And so to reject a prophet was to reject God. To reject or to respond to a prophet was to respond to God. And so that first verse, or that first phrase, is very significant. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. God's own words came to Jonah. That's a very significant phrase. Tell you who the word of the Lord also came to. The word of the Lord came to Abraham. The word of the Lord came to Samuel. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah is a prophet of the Lord God, and he is told, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. Now, Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria, and this nation wasn't. It was an awful nation. You can Google it later. They were known for doing some wicked things. And clearly it says God has had enough of it. He's had enough of their wickedness. And if you were an Israelite reading this book, this is what you're thinking. You're thinking, this is awesome news. Because these Assyrians, the Ninevites, have done awful things to us. Finally, the time has come. Their wickedness has finally gotten to God. And there is no news better than to hear this. Preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. This is music to Israel's ears. The nation that has threatened them for so long. God is saying, I am on your side. Preach against them. And Jonah is the man who is given this honorable task to walk right into the heart of that city and to proclaim that God is against them. Verse 3. But Jonah ran away from God. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, but Jonah ran away from the Lord. He could have said no. He could have said, I'm going to stay home, send someone else. Of all the things he could have done, he decides, I'm going to run. And he runs for the furthest place possible known to him, Tarshish. God has called him, and he says, I want you to go there. And he says, well, I'm going to go the other way. He hits the Joppa, which is the nearest seaport. He buys a ticket. He gets on board the boat. He heads to Tarshish, all in an effort to flee from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and Jonah flees from the Lord. I think we're meant to ask ourselves, why on earth would you do that? Why would Jonah run from God? I think that's what the original readers were probably thinking when they read this. They read this. Why? He's giving you a task. Why would you run from it? You're a prophet. You're a prophet of the Lord God. No other prophet has run. You're the only prophet who has run. What good reason could you possibly have for not preaching this message from God against the city of Nineveh, this wicked city? Well, we'll find out at the end of the book. And I tell you what, you won't believe the reason he's running from God. But I encourage you, read it, spoil it for yourself. And if you don't know how Jonah ends, I guarantee you, you will be shocked to find out why he does not want. I know it sounds like clickbait. It sounds like, you know, but seriously, you won't believe why Jonah does not want to go to Nineveh. But putting aside that question for now, I think we're also meant to be thinking this. Hang on. You're trying to physically run from God. Are you serious? Now, I know people who physically move to get away from another person, and I can understand how that makes sense. But to physically run from God, you think that physically relocating yourself from Israel to Tarshish makes a difference between you and God? You can't run from God. This is a prophet who's totally out of sync with God. Thanks. Now, this might sound really quite obvious to you guys, but I can see you. I can literally see you. And it really is me speaking here. I was preaching this other church. It was a much smaller congregation, which made this a lot worse. And I was preaching, and I was looking in the crowd, and this lady two rows in front of me, she was picking her nose while she was looking at me. And it wasn't just the pick and flick. This was like knuckle deep, you know. She was looking for gold or something. I got no problem if you want to dig for nasal gold, because better out than in. But I mean, I'm looking, I can see you. I mean, this is not TV. This is not a screen. You know, I can see you. I can't see what you guys are doing, you know. God sees what he's doing. What are you doing, Jonah? He knows where you're going. What are you thinking? And while we might scratch our heads at this, it's worth asking ourselves this question. There are probably parts in life where we've created distance between us and God. Maybe for some people, and maybe some of you guys, it might be physical. To avoid God is to avoid coming to church. I know Christian friends who've run from other Christians because I just don't want to have to deal with the problems that we know about. You can run from people. You can't run from God. Father, as we create this distance between us and God, and we say, well, no, this part of my life, this is mine. You can have the other bits, you can have Sunday night, you can have, I'll even give up some time to serve in the church, whatever it is. But this part, I'm not going to listen to you about this one. You kind of think, oh, come on, can you really bargain with God like that? That you really have a claim to say, God, no, you don't have right to touch this part of my life. I mean, really? Maybe they're just parts that we've hidden from each other. Parts of our lives where literally no one else knows what we have done or what we are doing because it's in secret. And it's easy to do when no one knows. It's easy to do it when no one's looking. But I don't know. It's a bit dumb, isn't it? Just because other people can't see it. I think God sees it. See, there are areas of our life which are totally out of sync with God. What are we thinking? You and I know we can't hide. We can hide from people. You can hide from a church, maybe. This is God we're talking about. In our next section, that's exactly how God responds to Jonah. He says, what are you thinking? I know where you are. Verse 4, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up, and all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he laid down and fell in a deep sleep, and the captain went and said to him, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we'll not perish. God has sent Jonah to Nineveh, but as he runs from God, God decides, well, now I'm going to send a great storm to you. You cannot run. And the sailors, they're sailors, so they know how to sail a boat. This is their job. This is their livelihood. And they know this is it. This is a storm that they cannot deal with. They cannot sail this one. And so they pray. They pray to their own gods, because they're not Israelites, and they try their best to lighten the ship. But they know this is not going to do anything. They pray, they panic. Everything to give them even just the smallest advantage to get through this thing. They're all panicking except for one guy, Jonah, who decides, I'll take a nap. How is it possible that Jonah could take a nap at this time? I'll tell you why. He knows God has caught up to him. He knows this is from God. And so I think he listens to these sailors running around praying to their own false gods. He's thinking, that's got nothing to do anything. He's watching them throw their cargo off the ship. And they're thinking, we've got to throw off more things. And he's thinking, that's not going to help you either. Because this is God. You can't fight against God. And so he sleeps because I think he's waiting, I give up. Okay, God, you found me. You got me. I'm going to take your sleep. And that's what the captain accused him. He said, how can you sleep? Like, seriously, how can you sleep? The storm is raging. The wind is blowing. We're going to sink and die. How can you not pray? How can you not help us throw things overboard? How can you not do a single thing to help? How can you be so calm and so uncaring in this situation? See, here's the thing. Jonah puts the very lives of the sailors at risk because of his own disobedience. Because he refuses to preach against the city of Nineveh, these sailors, who have got nothing to do with this, they're now paying for it. Jonah is single-handedly responsible for the situation, and as he sleeps, He sees because he doesn't care. They're panicking and praying. They want to know which God is in control. They're praying for any God they can think of. And Jonah's thinking, I know. I know why this is all happening. Later on, he'll say, I know this is my fault. But he doesn't care. And he'll go to sleep. He sleeps because, as I said, he knows, you found me, God. You found me. Verse 7, then the sailors said to him, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? He answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. They realize that Jonah, he holds the answers to their problem. And so when they push him for answers, finally he tells them, the God of my people is the God that I worship. He is the God of the heavens and the earth. He is the God of heaven and the sea and the land. That is who my God is, the God of all creation. And so verse 10 literally says, they were terrified with great terror. The God who is in control of the seas and the land, the sea in which they're in, the land which they're trying desperately to get to, the winds which are whipping up the seas, that's your God. And so the response of fear is the right response. As Proverbs says, fear is the beginning of wisdom. Reverent fear, a healthy fear that recognizes this God is the God of all things, and we are not. The God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land, this God is responsible for everything. And so once Jonah has clarified who his God is, they cannot believe his stupidity. What have you done? It's a rhetorical question. They already knew he was running, but they cannot believe the stupidity of this guy, the position he's put them in. It defies all reason. Your God is the God of everything, including the seas. And you're running from that God, and you decide to catch a boat through the sea, of which your God is the creator of. What are you thinking? How did you think this would end? See, when you think of that area or areas of your life that you're withholding from God, the area that you're running from Him, putting as much distance as possible, here's a very simple question. How do you think it will end? I know how you might want it to end. How do you think it really will end? Our God is the God of the universe, the heavens and the sea and the land. Nothing can be hidden from His. How do you think it will end? Maybe you already know that it's unraveling right now. Maybe, like how Jonah's sin was impacting the sailors, you can see how your area is impacting other people. We can run, but God always catches up somehow. You know, husband messaged me, it was a while ago now, messaged me out of the blue. He said, Simon, can you recommend a counselor for me and my wife? It's very urgent. I was like, yeah, I mean, I can pass some names to you. I said, oh, but you know, I know you well. I can sit down and I can have a chat. And when I met up with him, I said, oh, just give me the story of your marriage from the beginning. And he was very honest with the things that he had been working through and he'd done. And honestly, all I could think of was this. I don't understand how he could do all those things and not think it would end like this. I don't understand how you thought you could do all those things and somehow you would still have a marriage. I don't understand how you don't understand why it is where it is. Did you just think you could keep on running and get away with it? You and I can live out of step with God all we want. But we'd be fools to think that somehow we'll be better off with it. It always catches up to us somehow. It's just a matter of when. Verse 11, the sea was getting rougher and rougher, and so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me to the sea," he replied, and it will become calm. "I know that is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. He gives them a solution. Throw him overboard, and it will be all good. This is not a noble act on Jonah's part. See, because the right response isn't to throw yourself overboard. The right response is to get up and preach to the city of Nineveh. Jonah is saying, "I would rather take my punishment than to go to that city." And it is so interesting how the sailors respond. They go, no. "We can't do that. We're not letting you die." They care more about him than he ever cared for them. Jonah was prepared to let them suffer for his actions, but the sailors do everything they can to save him. And in this chapter, Jonah the prophet and these Gentile sailors, who of them are the ones to speak to God? The sailors. They fear him, they pray to him, and in the end, they worship him. They offered a sacrifice to him. They made vows to him. It's funny, isn't it? Wasn't it Jonah who's the one that said, "I worship the Lord, the God of heavens"? It's funny how these are the only guys that seem to be doing any worshiping. You know, Barnardo's is a charitable organization up the road in Auburn. And I know a lot of you guys are familiar with them. And if you're not too sure what they do, they actually do a lot of work with broken families, especially with children or children who've been taken from unsafe homes or who don't have parents. A Christian friend of mine, him and his wife decided they were looking for an opportunity to serve the local community. And so they thought, there's this opportunity where you can look after one child for one weekend of 1 month. And thought, we can really serve people in that regard. And I was like, I was so impressed. Oh man, that's amazing. And he goes, "Nah, man." He goes, "Look, the people who trained us how to look after one child for one weekend for 1 month was a gay couple we've been fostering abused children for years. They've been fostering abused children for years. And they were the ones training us how to do good works." And he said, "I've never felt so ashamed. We preach so much about what is true and what is right and what is good, but it's these guys who are putting us to shame." this storm was designed to expose Jonah's shame. God wanted to confront Jonah face to face with his shame. What are you thinking of running away? What did you think would happen? Even the sailors care more for you and worship me. And it is a story which I think exposes our own shame. But most of all, it exposes a need from God for someone who's going to do better than this Jonah. Years later, after this storm was calmed, in Mark chapter 4, we read of another storm and another boat, and there was another man sleeping while the storm raged. The sailors woke him up and said the same thing. Don't you care if we drown? And storm in that story was also calmed. And that story, once again, the sailor responded in fear, saying, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? Where Jonah claimed he believed in the God of the heavens and the sea and the land, in calming the storm, Jesus said, I am the God of heavens and the sea and the land. Where Jonah, by his actions, said, I don't care for the sailors, Jesus, by his actions, said, I, the God of the heavens and the sea and the land, I care. He said to the sailors, his disciples, you have so little faith. Why are you so afraid? I care. And while Jonah was catching a boat to flee from God, Jesus took a boat that headed straight for the cross. Where Jonah, the story of Jonah exposes our shame. The story of Jesus is about a story of a true prophet who said, I've come to die for your shame. Where Jonah brought utter shame to the name of being called a prophet, Jesus brought glory to God as someone who truly is the Savior and the Son of God. The storm exposed Jonah's shame and ours, but the storm that Jesus calmed exposed his heart that says, I care, and I am willing to go, and I'm not afraid to die for the shame of my people. The application for our week is very simple. Face our shame. Stop running. Stop running and face our shame. If you've been running, say, yes, God, I have been trying to run. If you can see how it's going to impact people, you can say, I can see how what I'm doing impacts other people. It's to admit the place in life where we are out of step with where God's at. I'll tell you why we can do this. We can face our shame. Because Jesus faced our shame. He already knows it. He's already seen it. He said, I already died for it. You can face your shame. because I've faced it already and I've died for it. The true Jonah has come. Jesus, the God of the heavens, the God of the sea, the God of the land, took that ship and headed straight from the cross. He looked at our shame. Said, I care. I died for your shame. Amen.